May I ask you please to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you that we have been able to read your word. We thank you that you have spoken to us through it in the past. Now we ask that you will speak to us again. Help us, we ask you, to understand. Help us, we pray, to examine our hearts as we have your word before us. We thank you for all the good things you've given to us this day, for the fellowship we have had with our friends, for so many blessings and mercies. We thank you for them all. Be with us now, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would just like to tell you a little story, which comes again from Africa. May I remind you of someone said of me that I can't speak for 10 minutes without mentioning Africa, so you'll have to forgive me. I was once at a conference in Africa. I didn't take part, didn't have that much lunda, but at this conference there were a number of brethren, and some of them wanted to speak. That's sometimes a failing of preachers. They want to speak. I think I'm not one of them. But one brother spoke too long. Boy, he sure did go on. And as it was described, it took him so long to speak that he could have walked from where we had the conference to a certain river. That's the way the Africans describe about how long it would take. Well, anyway, the brother who was to follow him took umbrage. He was going to speak too, but there wasn't much time left. The other brother had taken the time. Well, this dear brother decided the best thing for him to do was to go out. He'd been offended. Nothing that anybody could do could change his mind. So home he went. Now, the moral there is that it's a good thing he went home, because his message would have done no one any good. Now, We were having a very interesting Bible reading in the home of Tom and June Davis, and we read this 18th chapter, and off and on I've been thinking about it. It's been a blessing to my own soul. And what I have to say to you tonight is what the Lord gave to me. Now, my message, simply and is this, it's the subject of forgiveness. Well, now, not long ago, I heard a brother say that too many of us pick verses out of the Bible without studying the context. And I think that's very true. And if you look at this 18th chapter, it appears to be a unit. There is some connection between the various paragraphs that we have in it, and all of them tend to focus on the end of the chapter, when the Lord speaks to us himself of this matter of forgiveness. Well, now the chapter begins with the disciples, and they, of course, were wondering who would be the greatest. According to the Word of God, they had indulged in this useless pastime quite often. And so the Lord gives them a little lesson. He puts a child in their midst. He says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Well, now, why did the disciples argue over this? Well, there's one little word, and that is pride. The most destructive element, I believe, in the lives of a great many people. We want to be something. This brother I talked to you about in Africa, he wanted to preach. He wanted to get up there and preach. And he didn't. As I've said, just as well. Well, here you have the little child. And then the Lord goes on to point out that we must be careful of offenses. What actually does that mean? Be very careful. Try, I believe, not to offend. I think we can read into this. That's hard to do. Very, very hard to do. Yes. I've had, since I've been back here, some occasions when I haven't been too happy about other drivers. But it's a good thing I had to sit in the car. Or maybe I might have gotten out and said too much. I don't like it when people make left turns right in front of my nose and that sort of thing. But we have to get used to that. And we have to be very careful even what we think. But we go on here, and then we have the story, which is repeated so often, of the lost sheep. Well, now many people use this as a gospel message, and I'm sure that the Lord blesses it. But if you study it, it is really not a gospel message. They were all sheep, and one of them had gone astray. One of them had gone astray. And the Lord was interested in that one. And we have the beautiful hymn, the 99, that we all know so well. And we've had many an example of how the Lord takes care of those who've gone astray. I could tell you many stories from Africa on that subject, but I'm not going to take time now. Then we have a very interesting verse here. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And this verse is used for a great many things. Yes. I've heard it used. A husband and wife decide to get a new car. They've agreed on it, so that's it. Well, now, of course, it doesn't mean that. It simply doesn't mean that at all. You see, spiritual things are very, very important. And it means, sure, that when those who are given the position of responsibility decide prayerfully before the Lord, the decision they make is a very important one indeed. I could give you stories on in that connection as well, but I'm not going to. Well, Peter, who had been listening, we all love Peter. He knew what these verses meant, all right. And he spoke up, put his foot into it, as he did on more than one occasion. He joined the Foot Swallowers Club. Yes, if I forgive my brother 7 times, could anyone ask any more than that of me? 7 times. Yes. Well, the Lord soon puts him right. 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Well, we conclude then with the story which we have read of the man who had been forgiven of a very large debt, but who refused to forgive a humble servant a very much smaller debt. And as so often happens in the scripture, the Lord Jesus caps something that he has said in the way of teaching by an illustration or by a parable. Now, this is a very important subject. It's important in, has been important in my own life, because we have had some difficulties in Africa, and I've been reminded that this subject applies to me. It certainly does. Now, let us look for just a minute about some of the applications we have in Scripture. And the first is regarding Cain. Well, we say that Cain was angry because God refused to accept his offering. That's true. But there's something more than that. Cain refused to forgive his brother, jealous of him, hated him. And the first man who came into this world slew his brother. Now he was completely able to be forgiven. The Lord said, here's the offering, offer it. I've given it to you. Offer it. No. And according to what we read in the Word of God, he went away from the presence of God. He refused to make things right. It's a sad story. It's not a myth. It's perfectly true. Well, then we have the story of Joseph's brethren. You know the abominable thing that they did to sell their own brother into slavery, hoping that they had seen the last of him. Of course, they completely forgot that God was going to have something to say about this. And you know that beautiful story. I love to read it as the whole story at one time. You remember how Joseph revealed himself to his brother, how he fed them and looked after them. Looked after his father, and then his father died. Well, then what happened? Well, these brethren sent a message to Joseph reminding him that he should forgive them. Joseph wept. Now, why did they do that? Because that is the thing which they wouldn't have done themselves. They had sold their brother into slavery. Whether they were repentant or not, I don't know. But they assumed that Joseph was going to do the same to them. They were mistaken. He'd forgiven them. Forgiven. And then we have the very sad story. I sometimes wish it wasn't in the scriptures, and I say that kindly. The story of Jacob and Laban. I don't want to dwell in detail on this, but I just want to remind you of that verse. The Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent the one from the other. And what's that mean? Laban, don't you dare cross this pile of rocks. And the same to you, Jacob, don't you cross this pile of rocks either. We have no use for each other. They didn't. They never saw each other again. It's a sad story. A very sad story. Well, we can go on in Israelite history. And we know so many of those stories. Sad ones. Very sad ones. I won't take time for that now because my time is passing. We come to the New Testament. We find that Paul and Barnabas have problem over John Mark. The scriptures are silent as to what happened, but all we know is that the apostle Paul asked that John Mark be sent because he was a help in the work, and we like to assume that everything was all right. I think it was. Because the apostle Paul was not a hypocrite. And I doubt very much whether he would have written Colossians and Ephesians if he still bore any unkindness or malice toward Barnabas. But in my thinking, I remembered some of the incidents that have happened in church history. The Byzantine people, Byzantians, I guess that's the right way to say it, they quarreled a lot over certain doctrines concerning Christ. I doubt very much whether either side knew very much about it, that I don't know. But according to history, they couldn't agree. And when they caught one of the other side, they blinded him. That'll help you. The other side did the same. The grace of God? There was none. Who cared about the doctrines when they felt like that toward one another? And you all know how in the Reformation And I love the story of those great men of Luther, those Lutherans, Zwingli and Calvin and others. But they agreed to disagree, and sometimes worse than that. Yes. Then in colonial America, it's a sad history. The books that we read so often on church history gloss over their endless and frequent quarrels one with another, fragmentation, problems, troubles all along the way. It's too bad. But there it is. And it's not for us to gloss over it. Those who are enemies of the church are always quoting this thing. It reminds me of a little story. Two believers were walking along the street, and one of them said to his fellow, "Do you see that man over there?" "Yes," said his fellow. "Well," said the first speaker, "it'll be a good idea when, it'll be a good thing when he gets to heaven, because he needs to be changed." And his companion said, "It'll be a good idea when you both get to heaven, because you both need to be changed." Well, that's rather blunt talking. I don't know whether they liked it or not, but that was it. Now the Word of God, through this parable or this story, makes it very clear to us that we have been forgiven, and therefore we are to forgive others. Yes, and it's very easy to say that, because sometimes it's not very easy. Oh, it's not very easy. Things have happened in my life, and it's been a real struggle to forgive the other person. Yes. But I've done so. The grace of God has made it imperative. Well, what do the scriptures have to say about this? Well, I don't wish to speak at length from the Old Testament, but you have the dreadful story of Manasseh. Just for one sentence, he filled Jerusalem with blood. But he's taken captive, taken off to Babylon, and there he repented, and God forgave him. God forgave him. Needless to say, he couldn't put right all that was wrong. Impossible. But there it is. Well, the apostle writing in Ephesians says, "As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And we all have the illustration in 1 John. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we found that out. Oh, if I found that out so often. And if we look in the Psalms, we have that beautiful word there. In Psalm 130, "There is forgiveness with thee." And I like to think that maybe the psalmist thought there's given forgiveness with nobody else. At least there is with you. And that's perfectly true. And then you have that other lovely verse in Psalm 86. "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy to all that call upon thee, who forgiveth all thine iniquities," Psalm 103. And then in the New Testament again, in whom, Colossians 1, we have forgiveness of sin. Now the conclusion that we have, and which we all know, is that God forgave us in Christ. And what a wonderful truth that is. How often I think about that. Now let us look at something else, because it isn't finished. The apostle reminds us in Corinthians of a very interesting story. And I don't, as a rule, have any trouble with our African brethren. But did you know that one day I was called on the carpet? Yes, I was the oldest one there. But man, I was on the carpet. Well, what had happened was that a brother had fallen into adultery for the third time. And I went out to visit him. I felt sorry for him, because I know Africa, and I wonder how any of them get along at all out there. Well, I suggested he come to the gospel meeting. I didn't say, of course, the communion service, although he had been a believer in fellowship. So I found that I was on the carpet, because I had invited this man, and I call him brother because I believe that he was a brother who had fallen. Oh, the elder said that I was quite wrong. So we argued quite a bit over the scripture, and I said that perhaps he wasn't saved, and therefore he ought to attend the gospel meeting. Now, they said, anyone who is as wicked as that shouldn't be anywhere near the church. So I reminded them that the church is not holy. That is, the building is not holy. And that it was our business to pray for this dear brother. They didn't seem to think it was a good idea to pray for him at all. But I did. He'd stumbled. The same as anyone might have stumbled. Any man might have stumbled. Yes. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, they found I was incorrigible. Yes. And I mean that jokingly. I said, well, as far as I was concerned, I was still going to visit him and pray for him, which they thought was not a very good idea. Then I reminded them of the subject we have before us, and which the Apostle Paul gave us in 2 Corinthians, that we ought rather to forgive. Do you remember how a man there, in the, a brother in the church, had fallen grievously? Incest? And that's what the apostle said. You ought rather to forgive him. Well, they didn't want to. They didn't want to forgive him. Well, why not? Well, if you read in the context, and if you know anything about the Corinthian church, they were not particularly interested in spiritual things anyway. Many of them were. Although Paul wrote some of his most beautiful words to them. Then he goes on to say that we are to forgive him for whom? For Christ's sake. Yes. Now there's much more. I'm afraid I'm going over this rather quickly. Now he adds these words. Lest Satan get an advantage. Lest Satan get an advantage. Now that's a very important sentence. What does the word advantage mean? It means to get ahead of us. And the apostle says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What's that mean? Well, according to the concordance, it means his thoughts and planning. Now we had an assembly in our area, and this assembly broke up. You say, I'm bringing you a lot of missionary problems, but it's a good thing to know that missionaries have problems. We do. Do you know why it broke up? Simply this, that they were covering up for somebody else. It's a very common thing in Africa. If your relative is in trouble, you don't split on him. No, you don't. It takes these African brethren a long time to realize that the Word of God is much more important than the clan. So the assembly died. Satan had won. We are not ignorant of his devices, of his thoughts and plans. And can Satan plan? Oh, yes. He certainly can. Oh, so often I've noticed in the work out there how he succeeds in dividing the work. Divide and conquer. Surely, if it's a statement that's made here, it's certainly of his own. Now, the plan is, in his mind, is to make us all very self-righteous. That's a very serious thing. And that's what happened in this case. This is not going to affect me because I don't want to split on him. No, I'm not going to. And that was it. Now, what does it do? Well, it destroys the fragrance of our testimony. Whenever there are troubles in our churches out there, it hinders the work. Is it often? Well, I'm very glad to say no. In our area, there are 20 assemblies. And you only have to go a little bit further and the number doubles. And we should have two more in our area. And I hope the Lord allowing it that one day they will be formed. Praying about it. You go to the Copper Belt. When I was working there at Kitwe, I worked amongst 22 assemblies. And getting on, God was blessing me. Is that all? No. Wherever you go, you'll find assembly. And discipline is something which they learn. And when they don't, the assembly dies. In other words, it's the same in our own lives. If we have an unforgiving spirit, our testimony is useless. Spiritually, we're dead. And that's perfectly true. Now, it also reduces us to the level of the world in which we live. If you can't turn on the television, not that we do it very often and listen for any length of time, this little word, hate, makes its appearance. It certainly does. We don't like it, but we say, well, that's the way they're going, let them go on with it. We can't do anything about it, nor can we. It's perfectly true. Now, unforgiveness, then, throws us into the lap of Satan, and it throws the Lord's Word into a place where he can destroy it. There's nothing that Satan hates more than a believer who is going on for Christ. And he will do his best to stumble it. Now, the last thing I would like to say before I give you an illustration is this. Forgiving one another as Christ hath forgiven you. It's a command. Here's another in Colossians 3, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's not a suggestion, it's a command from the Word of God. And with this, I would like to bring my message to a close with one illustration. If anyone asked me to doubt the efficacy of missionary work, I would simply say, I couldn't possibly do it. Because with all its problems, the results can be anticipated, and they follow the pattern which we have in the Word of God. They do. I think I've told you before from this platform that there are Africans that I could name. If you asked who is the more spiritual, I would say they are. They have far more temptations than I have along certain lines. And they look after the flock of God in spite of all of that. I had a dear friend. We came to know him when we first went to Africa. And I had a little bit to do with him because he became a school teacher. Not in the formal sense, but we had a lot of out schools, and he was one of them. His name was Ikasha. Dear old Ikasha loved the Lord and went on very faithfully, and God blessed him. In fact, that's one of the problems we face. Many of our African believers become well-to-do. Well, why do they? Because God blesses them, just as He blesses believers over here. Well, then tragedy came into his life. Someone died in the village, and tremendous pressure was put upon him. Tremendous pressure. And eventually he gave in. See, the idea is, we know you're innocent. And all you have to do is take part in these rites. And they will show that you're innocent, and that's the end of it. They knew better than that. They were going to find him guilty. So they found him guilty of witchcraft. And as he'd taken part in all of this, he was put out of fellowship. What happened? Well, his dear wife pled with him not to have anything to do with all of this. Wept bitter tears. Very godly, spiritual woman. But what could he do? Well, what happened? Well, he was put out of fellowship. Bitterness entered his soul. An unforgiving spirit. Is it my fault that all this has happened? Well, for a long time, he nursed it. And then God gave him the victory, largely through his wife's prayers. And I spoke to him often, and I don't think that I could name a more exemplary believer than that man. They asked me to speak when he was buried, and I was glad to do so. Well, why? He was more spiritual than I. He knew more of God's dealings through the troubles he'd had than I. So there we laid him to rest, and I haven't forgotten him. Haven't forgotten at all. Well, he told me about that. He was bitter. He was bitter. Who was he bitter with? Well, his relatives, yes, but he knew perfectly well that they had deceived him. He was bitter with God. And God spoke to him through his wife's prayers, and he asked forgiveness and was forgiven. God used him. There was an elder there in the Killeen assembly, and he led many people to Christ. And when they had a serious problem, he was always one of them who was consulted. Why? Because they knew that God had dealt with him, and therefore he could be trusted to be a help to others. So, we have this little theme, which has been a blessing in my life, and I'm very thankful for it. And I'm thankful to the Lord that he's going, so we believe, to give us the opportunity to be a blessing to others. Well, now I've told you that we have problems out there. Whether I shall have anything to do with it or not, I don't know. But I know one thing that I need, an unforgiving spirit. And I hope you will pray to that end. Well, now I'm sure you realize that I've given this address to myself. I haven't had any other person or thing in mind, but as the Lord laid it on my heart, I felt that perhaps it would be a blessing to you as it has been to me. The things of the Lord are very precious to me, and I want them to remain that way. And I've learned some lessons. I've got a lot more to learn. I'm learning them every day. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the word which we have read. We thank you for the verses we have read, and we realize how little we really know of this important subject. But we ask that you will help us through the pages of Scripture to look into our own lives. And we ask for your help with regard to the work on the mission field, the many problems there are there. We thank you for our many African brethren. We thank you for the lessons you've taught them, and through them you've taught us. We thank you again for the good things you've given to us, and for that wonderful fellowship we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad he is here. He's in our midst, and we thank you. We ask that you will take us safely to our homes over these dangerous roads. We ask you, Lord, that you will use us and make our lives tell for you. For we ask it in your name. Amen.